Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm here to help. Bob, can you help me with the pronunciation? Speaking of help, help me with the pronunciation of this fella's name. Can you look at that? What do you think? How would you pronounce it?
Juicy Smollett. Who's Juicy
Smollett? Juicy or Jussie?
I don't know how to pronounce
it. It's not Jesse. Juicy.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Juicy?
No.
He's one of my favorite actors. He's on my favorite show. It's called Empire. It's on Fox.
It's
about hip hop artists and producers.
And I'm sure it's your favorite show.
Well, I DVR it all. Yeah, I binge watch it.
I'm sure.
Sometimes. Anyway, so this fella claims, Bob, have you heard the story? He claims that he was attacked.
He's the homosexual who beat himself up in Chicago.
Well, he happens to be gay, is how they like
he,
to say that.
Doug, this guy, this is the guy who said somebody put a noose around his neck and then he wore it for the rest of the night.
Yeah, he wore it back to the hotel.
He forgot to take the noose off.
Well, you know,
Of his neck.
No, yeah,
but he is right. He's the homo. That's his name.
Yeah,
Juicy Smollett.
He's the
homosexual who beat himself up in Chicago, and then said that some racist,
a MAGA hat wearing.
Yeah.
Anyway, now he may not have beat himself up. It might have been the guy he met on Tinder who beat him up. We don't know all the details on that. But what's interesting is that. So the police have all of his movements outside the hotel room
on video,
except maybe like 45 seconds. Everything but the beating, which it could have happened in that 45 seconds, I suppose.
Well,
it's a very strange story.
The video will show cars coming and going, people coming and going, if there are any.
We only
saw two guys.
Right.
And then when he walks into his hotel, his apartment? I don't know.
Something like
that. They have a security guy there, and he doesn't say a word.
No.
He just walks in with a noose around his neck.
Yeah.
Like a normal thing.
It happens sometimes, you know, you come back with a coat.
And so then people don't really quite believe the story. And then his producer says, well, I was on the phone with him during the attack.
Oh, yeah, right.
So
the police said, can we see your phone? There could be evidence.
Well, if you want to catch the guy who attacked you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they could. They could get on his phone and get on Tinder, and they could probably figure it out. But he won't give them the phone. Anyway, we should pray for Jussie Smollett. The guy's got problems. The guy needs help. That's for sure.
Sure.
It's very, very sad. But the fact that he's open and public about his sexual perversion and deviance, it makes it very difficult for me to feel sorry for him.
So, Doug, there's so much news to cover to get a valid perspective on what's happening in the world.
A valid? I like that.
Like in the anarchist in Acapulco who was murdered.
Oh, yes.
Well, there's nothing to see there, so let's go to the next story. I mean,
We'll move on to the happy anniversary.
That's like painter brings brush to work.
Anarchist
murdered.
Murdered, yeah.
Well. I mean, what is he asking for?
Well, apparently he wouldn't want anyone prosecuted for it because he's an anarchist.
So what else is in the news?
Well,
ideas have consequences.
Indeed, yes.
Like one of O.J. Simpson's attorneys gets him acquitted of a horrific double murder. And then Johnny Cochran's own son was murdered shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you mainstream these crimes.
Yeah.
Ideas have consequences.
Yeah, it has become mainstream.
Yeah.
Mass murder, murder in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy. But I wanted to say happy anniversary. Today is the 40th anniversary of the original Islamic State.
Oh.
Wait. They didn't say happy anniversary. They actually said death to America. I got that wrong. But they say don't take that personally.
We were making fun of them like they need to hire a new PR firm, come up with some new slogans.
Right.
Death to America, death to Israel.
Yeah.
That's about all they got.
Well, they don't have a whole lot more going on. Oh, that reminds me, I have a question about Persia and the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm reading Nehemiah happens to be one of my kids' favorite books. So they pick books and we read the books.
Yeah.
And they've picked Nehemiah now. I think this is the third time we're going through Nehemiah. Mm. And the question came up, why would the king of Persia, who traditionally they're not really friends of the Jews, nobody was really friends of the Jews. The Jews were being held captive by the Persians.
Right.
So what would possibly motivate the king of Persia to let Nehemiah go back and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem?
Yeah, Cyrus.
Yeah, yeah. It's really odd.
What's interesting as compared to a democracy where it's the will of the majority, when you have a monarchy, a single individual could be convicted by God, the Holy Spirit working in his heart, and he could recognize that I should do the right thing here. That could happen with a monarchy. Not that it is likely to happen, but it could happen. Whereas in a democracy, it is much more unlikely that there would be a revival of the government, that the government, like in Nineveh, for example, like with King Josiah, even like with King David, at least for a time, the revival that's possible with an individual is almost impossible with majority rules. Mm-hmm. So that's another argument against democracy.
Wow.
But yeah, individuals, including kings, can respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people think that God overtakes someone's free will. And there is no such thing as violating someone's free will. Hmm. That's a misnomer. That concept, that's a confused idea. If a criminal puts a gun in your hand and pulls the trigger, forces your finger, and the gun shoots somebody, well, they didn't violate your free will. They didn't violate your will.
Right.
You didn't want to do that. But more than any other being or agent or person, God could influence people. For example, Doug, if God wants parents to name their kids a certain name and he's impressing on them to name this child a certain way, the parents either might be willing or not willing. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, we see willing and in the New Testament not willing. Remember Zechariah was struck mute because he didn't believe what was going to happen with him and Elizabeth.
That's right.
And they should name the child John. Mm-hmm. And so then after the baby was born and he had a right because he couldn't speak, the child's name is John, like the angel told him, name him John.
Right.
And so God is able to influence and to bring about events. Doug, those who think that God has orchestrated everything, every wicked, vile thing, every good thing, every confusion, even though the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. Those who think that God orchestrates everything, he's decreed every rape, adultery, every vile thing, then when they hear someone argue the biblical perspective that no, God has delegated authority to beings, we have our own will, and God is an actor, then they pretend that God must be completely incapable of any influence or any accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. God has delegated authority to angels, to human beings, and he is an actor. Mm-hmm. Throughout the scriptures, he intervened, and he brought about his will in many brilliant ways.
Indeed. And through people. God influences other people with his people.
And one of those people, Doug, could have been Queen Esther. Of course, another book in the Bible.
Oh, right, yes, there. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of people, Bob, I think we need to address the Jeff Bezos situation as it relates to
Amazon.
Just the whole horrible sad.
The adultery, yeah, the National Enquirer.
Glenn Greenwald,
Oh, yeah, with the Intercept.
Unbelievable.
The blackmail that the National Enquirer is trying to blackmail Jeff Bezos.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So they did succeed in taking the world's richest person and rather immoral in turning him into a victim. They did. The National Enquirer pulled that off.
Yes.
So The Intercept, Doug, where Glenn Greenwald writes.
Yeah.
You know that name.
I'm familiar with Mr. Greenwald.
A filthy guy.
He's a homo.
Pervert.
Let's just get it right out there.
Paranoid.
The guy's a homo.
Paranoid.
Paranoid. Yeah, obsessed with surveillance.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, Glenn Green.
So, not that that's not a problem, but he's paranoid and filthy.
Well, it's really a problem with what
so
he does.
He wrote,
if people are watching you. You know.
Sure. So, he wrote this about Jeff Bezos committing adultery, cheating on his wife. They have kids.
Yeah.
Right? So here's what this homosexual, Glenn Greenwald, wrote. And then I added a comment just below his article on The Intercept. So I'll share both with you. He wrote, in a perfect world, no salacious material would be incriminating between adults. That is the business of nobody other than those involved and their spouses. So he's talking about people cheating on people.
Yeah.
Right? Married people who are cheating.
Yes.
So he said, that's the business of nobody other than those involved and their spouses. So my comment quotes that and adds, and the millions of children devastated by the unfaithfulness of a parent that tore their home apart. But really, who cares about them?
Well,
who cares?
Wow.
Because that's... God cares. So God said, do not commit adultery. God commanded, do not commit adultery.
Right. Glenn Greenwald, on the other hand, doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care.
He'll never have any kids. And he's a homo.
So those who support sexual immorality, one of the things they're saying, he might as well have written, oh, yeah, and children, I hate them, too.
Mm.
He should have written that.
Yeah.
Because that's what he did write.
Mm-hmm.
So when God commanded us to be faithful, he's doing it because he loves us, and he loves these innocent kids who become the victims of broken marriages.
Yeah.
And Doug, I'm speaking from firsthand experience. Tragically, I have lived through this. I know what it means to destroy a marriage and then have your kids suffer and suffer terribly.
Right.
So God was wise. And when we believe the world or go along with the world in opposition to God, we're bringing destruction on ourselves and those we care about.
Yeah, so true. So, and you know, there was a time in this country where if you got divorced, it would ruin your career.
Mm.
Now, Jeff Bezos...
Oh, a politician, for example.
A politician. My grandfather. My grandfather left my grandmother. She had six sons, three of them still living at home, one with polio. And he left her for another woman, and he had to leave town.
Wow.
I mean, he had to leave town in the middle of the night in a hurry.
Wow.
And he lost his career. He lost his pension.
Wow.
He fled. He had to flee
because
it was such a shameful thing back in the early 1960s.
And the wickedness of no-fault divorce. Could you imagine in that circumstance the innocent spouse who has a husband or wife who goes out and cheats on them, destroys their marriage, hurts their children, and then they have the added assault of the court saying, well, there's no fault here. There's no fault.
It's just...
So when that does happen, the innocent victim spouse should, of course, get the custody of the kids. That should happen as an automatic consequence of cheating. And just that, of course, would reduce adultery dramatically.
Yeah.
And God's brilliant idea where an adulterer is to be put to death, that would help too.
That would reduce greatly even the temptation. Yeah.
Right.
But now Jeff Bezos, now there's going to be stories and people talking, kind of smirking about him losing half of his $100 billion or whatever he's worth.
Yeah.
But he's basically been insulated by society from any real consequences of his divorce.
You know, you might think that that was the most expensive act of adultery in the world, in the history of the world.
Certainly expensive.
Over $100 billion he is worth.
Yeah.
And his wife, she's fully entitled to half of his net worth because she's his wife and... She was there the whole time.
Well, she built the company. She had a tape gun in her hand in her apartment when they built. Yeah. She earned every penny of it.
So she's going to take half of his empire and more power to her. But you know what? Somebody committed adultery where the cost was even greater. And that was David. When King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, then he murdered her husband to cover it up.
That's right.
Then his children became as wicked as could be. And especially Solomon, who started out good, became so evil, and the nation was torn in half.
Mm.
The nation was torn in half.
So David probably never contemplated the consequences that would affect millions of people.
Millions.
For thousands of years.
For thousands of years. Wow. That's absolutely right.
That's something to think about.
Yeah.
This is very serious. It's very serious. And it's a shame when famous, influential people throw away their marriage as if it's nothing, because that's just – it normalizes it for the younger people coming up. It's just a tragedy.
For their own kids.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a tragedy.
For the world around us. We're supposed to love our neighbor and, of course, love your husband, love your wife. Somebody says, I can't love my wife. I just can't love her. Well, Jesus said love your neighbor. I don't care. I can't do it. Well, Jesus said love your enemy. Come on. You're running out of excuses.
There you go. Right?
So
let's move from one courtroom to another. Well, the Bezos aren't in court yet, but they're headed there. But we'll go to the Supreme Court where John Roberts has reared his ugly head again.
He votes with Planned Parenthood.
He voted with Planned Parenthood,
no
yes.
No surprise there.
No. I saw the headline, the Associated Press headline, says John Roberts joins liberals.
Wait, that was from 5 years ago, that headline? They're not supposed to be historians. They're supposed to be news people.
Yes.
They're alleged journalists.
Yeah, right.
John Roberts the guy who crossed the aisle and brought about Obamacare?
He gave us
Obamacare.
He definitely had joined the liberals at that point, at least.
Well, sure. But,
and you can go further back in his career when he joined the homos.
Right.
Let alone the liberals.
Yeah, we warned everyone at the time when he was nominated by George W. Bush that he worked with the homosexuals to overturn Colorado's Amendment 2, which passed, which basically said that homosexuals won't be able to sue you if you refuse to comply with their demands.
Right.
I mean, it was a great amendment, Amendment 2, in order to try to stop the homosexual agenda.
Yeah, right.
And it passed in Colorado. John Roberts worked to overturn it, and James Dobson was lobbying for John Roberts. Why in the world? Well, he had a knack for picking child killers and sodomites and socialists. He just had a knack for that.
Yeah.
And when he said, he made a pledge, as long as God lets me live on this world, I will never again support a politician willing to kill a single innocent child.
That's verbatim.
I mean, what a pledge. Tragically, he had to say never again, because he shouldn't have ever.
Because he had already.
As an adult, as a ministry leader, he had. But then he violated the pledge.
Yeah.
And we have it in writing from Focus on the Family. They're not going by that pledge. But John Roberts, when we led the charge to let Christians know that he's the enemy, James Dobson said, oh, well, yeah, he helped the homosexuals, but he had to. It's like a secretary who's filing paperwork. He just had to.
Yeah.
What do you mean he just had to?
Right.
Is he not an adult? Was he not the partner of a prestigious law firm?
No.
Who worked with the homosexuals to overturn Amendment 2?
And he has free will. You can't violate a man's free will.
You can't. So.
Anyway, Amendment 2, that might be one of the reasons I met you, as a matter of fact. Mm. So when I first moved to Colorado, I was just your average heathen. I mean, I had been churched to some degree, but I was definitely either backslidden or just straight up going straight to hell. But even at that point, I bought a T-shirt that said, yes, on 2. Because even in my backslidden, I knew that was disgusting. And
right,
I knew that normal people shouldn't be forced to rent their apartment to homos. I knew that, right?
Right, sure.
And if I remember
Jack
correctly.
Jack Phillips, Masterpiece Cake Shop.
Uh-huh.
He shouldn't be sued or threatened because he doesn't want to make a cake celebrating a homosexual marriage.
No.
Which doesn't exist anyway.
Yeah.
So Amendment 2 would protect people from that kind of strong-arm tactics.
Yes. And you were on the radio, I believe, in 1990. This would have been 92, 93.
91.
Yeah, right in there.
92 was the vote.
November of 92 was the vote.
Yeah.
And I heard you late night. It must have been a rebroadcast. I remember distinctly driving under 6th Avenue and hearing this guy talking about homos and Amendment 2. And I said, I got to find out who this guy is. And that was you.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled, Doug, that we became friends since then.
Yeah.
It's been going on 30 years.
Yeah. It's just...
But Focus on the Family, their tagline for their campaign was equal rights for homosexuals.
Equal rights, not special rights.
Equal rights.
I remember,
And we begged them at the time to consider what they were doing.
Mm.
If you Christian leaders are advocating for equal rights for homosexuals, don't you know that they're going to write the children's textbooks? Don't you know they're going to coach the boys' wrestling team? Don't you know that Christianity is mutually exclusive with homosexuality in the public square? You can't have both. They didn't know that.
No, well,
now they're finding it out.
Well, here's the thing, though. Now, they didn't know that, right? But you told them that. Mm. It's not that they didn't hear that. It's that they didn't want to believe that. Because you told them at the time. You predicted all of this.
And, what's happening
now?
For 3,500 years, on the books, literally, homosexuality was not only a sin, it was a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So was adultery. And James Dobson and et al., they're going along with the decriminalization of adultery and homosexuality, pornography, saying they're free speech rights. These are your basic human rights. And they're basically joining Hillary, Hollywood, the homosexuals, and the humanists, and turning their backs on Moses and Jesus and Paul.
Wow. That's a pretty harsh indictment.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's the type of thing that destroys civilizations. Not unlike socialism, Bob. We have to talk about Venezuela. What's happening in Venezuela is like a slow motion train wreck that's been going on for. Well, when did you first call for the humanitarian invasion? Was that a couple years ago?
The military invasion of Venezuela 2.5 years ago, September 2016, almost 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
And Doug, now the de facto president of Venezuela, because Maduro is no longer recognized by most of Europe and the U.S. and many other countries, and the de facto president is saying, well, I wouldn't rule out the U.S. coming in and by force removing Maduro.
Wow.
So that's what we called for back on September 14th. 2016.
Yes, and it would have been a lot better if Maduro wasn't expecting it, if we would have moved then.
Yeah. Right.
Now he's out there like training with the troops.
It's
the worst time to do it.
That is too much, right?
Anyway.
It may or may not happen, but the point is, when you see a nation that's drunk with socialism, and you know the humanitarian crisis that's coming, where millions of children and women will be on the streets hungry, looking for food in trash cans, in gutters, raising pets to eat their pets, killing all the animals in the zoos, all their endangered species. They used to have herds. They're all gone because they've eaten them.
Mm.
And young teenage girls selling themselves to try to bring home food for their younger siblings. Mm.
Yeah, the level of suffering is substantial. Substantially more suffering is occurring right now than would occur if there were a rapid military deployment and removal of Maduro.
Oh, yeah.
That would be violent. It would be ugly. Yeah. Some people would probably be killed.
Yeah. Doug, in the hospitals in Venezuela, the photos I've seen, they look like it's actually a set for a horror movie.
Yeah.
That's what they look like.
Right.
Maybe I'll tell one young woman's story. They don't have medicine anymore in the hospitals. She gave birth in a hospital, and because there's no baby formula, she's so malnourished, they're using a hypodermic needle to get milk because she can't lactate.
Oh.
They're taking milk out of her breast with a needle to extract it to try to get enough to feed the baby.
Just
what a nightmare. And that's one snippet of one woman and one child's life.
And that's repeated hundreds and hundreds of times all over the country
every day.
As the socialism that's gaining popularity here for whatever reason. And isn't it weird?
Because people hate God.
It's weird that you could have a perfect example of a civilizational collapse occurring in real time, right in front of everybody.
Right.
And you've got the young people are chanting for socialism.
And it is interesting to me, the countries like Russia and China that want to prop up the regimes where people are in utter misery, like in North Korea, in Venezuela, and in Syria.
Cuba.
And in Cuba. So, and you've got Iran, all the misery, the hatred. And you think, what motivates this? It's rebellion against God.
Ah.
And so in America, the left and many Republicans and libertarians, regardless of the misery that comes from their policies, their pride will continue to move them to rebel against God in his word, in his principles.
Wow. Even against the evidence right in front of your face.
Yeah, the evidence tends to be irrelevant.
Right. Hatred makes you irrational.
Yes.
Hatred leads to irrational behavior,
so Doug,
bad decisions.
Here on Bob and Yart Live, we don't just do the news. We do the news from an understanding of the suffering that comes from disobeying God, and so you got to know what God says in his word.
Right.
And so we are in the midst of a telethon.
Oh, yes.
Now, it's February 11th.
And February is a short month.
That's why we picked February for the telethon, because we hate doing a telethon.
Right, right.
And we are at $5,600, but the goal is $40,000.
We need $40,000 to stay on the air for another year.
Yes.
Yes. So
we do. We really do. And so it's not unusual for our telethons to start slow, but this is really slow.
It's really slow.
And
we're
really
going to have to finish strong, people. We need your help.
We need help. So the best way to help is to go online, kgov.com. Click on the store. You could donate once or
make a one-time really big financial donation and then subscribe to one or more.
Wow.
Like I do with the Bible studies. I just switched over to the download, which is awesome because now I can listen to it on my phone. I can burn it onto a CD if I want to put it in the car.
The Bible study downloads are so convenient for people subscribing because once a month you get your email link, you just download it.
Yep.
But also, if you think about the crew we have here at Bob and Yart Live, it's so much more effective if the people working here in the studio could focus on helping with content and distribution.
Right.
Rather than inventory and shipping and postage and all that.
With the tape gun and all that.
Yeah.
Who needs that anymore? It's 2019.
Right.
Download now.
So download subscriptions. We have the others for those who want them. But then also to donate one time, to make a monthly donation, we truly need help to continue to reach people, to help people wake up that humanity is marching off the cliff.
It's happening.
And somebody needs to be shouting and warning them.
Yes.
The watchman is, don't do this, you're destroying yourself.
And there are very few outlets in the media today where you get the biblical worldview.
Well, you mentioned Fox before we went on the air,
and we're
talking about every other guest. Fox is a homosexual.
That's where I heard of Glenn Greenwald. He's on Fox all the time.
Every other guest and half of the hosts.
Yes.
Well, not half of the hosts.
Well, too many.
Yes.
Sick.
So, and ultimately, homosexuality is a statement that Jesus Christ was wrong.
Wow.
When he said that God made us male and female. So they're trying to inoculate the public from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what homosexuality is all about. And that's why Christianity and homosexuality are mutually exclusive in the public square. You can't have both.
Wow. And you won't hear that anywhere else. That good common sense that goes back all the way to Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
You'll hear
it
here.
Yeah.
On Bob and Yart Live. That's why we need your help for the telethon, kgov.com.
With a biblical worldview. You should have heard Hugh Hewitt today. He said his worldview is that America is the greatest country. That's his worldview.
Oy vey.
How's that for a worldview?
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.